We're going to discuss the sugya of tam matzah, the need, or perhaps you don't need to have the taste of matzah. So that begins in the sugya we saw in Lamed Chesam and Beis. We saw a Gemara, the Kodei Braisa Machlokas. We were talking about cooking vegetables, whether cooking changes the vegetable to an adama, does it drop it to a shahakol. And in that context, the Gemara brought the following Braisa. There's a Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir felt that a person's yotze birakik in a cracker, a piece of matzah that's hashari, that's soaked in water, you're still yotze, doesn't lose its tam matzah. And even if it's mevushel, right, Meir Paskins, even if you cook the matzah, bake the matzah, cook it, I should say, you're also yotze the matzah. Rabbi Yossi said that you're only yotzen if you soak the matzah, but ava lo b'mevushel. If you cook the matzah, then you are not yotze the mitzah. It's no longer a din of matzah. So the Gemara explains, so we see that it's a machlokas whether cooking transforms something into something different. Does cooking transform matzah? So too, that's the same machlokas. Does cooking transform vegetables or not? And the Gemara says you cannot compare the discussion of matzah to the discussion of vegetables because the chuli alma, everyone agrees when it comes to shlakos, when you cook vegetables, everybody agrees it's an adama. The only time Rabbi Yossi says that cooking changes, it's only when it comes to matzah, because mishum diba'inan tam matzah v'leka. You need to taste the matzah, and by cooking it, you don't taste the matzah. Therefore, you're not going to yotze when you cook the matzah. So we have to get back to this and see why Rabbi Meir thinks cooking does allow you to get the mitzvah. But clearly, according to Rabbi Yossi, cooking loses the tam matzah, and you don't get the mitzvah. So is it really true that you need to taste matzah? We saw the Gemara Pesachim that says, that famous Gemara, im bala matzah. First says, bala matzah yata, bala mara lo yata. If you swallow matzah, you crush it up, and you swallow without chewing it at all, the Gemara says you're actually yotze. Mara says, it comes to mara, if you swallow mara, we said you're not yotze. Why are you not yotze by mara? You need to chew it. You need to feel the pain. You need to feel that the bitterness and experience the mara. So chewing it is the only way you're yotze. Swallowing it, you're not. So that seems to indicate when matzah, that I'm allowed to swallow matzah, indicates I don't need tam matzah. I don't need to taste it. I could just throw it down my throat, and that's good. So but the Gemara,
does that mean, does he time that into if you could bake it or not?
No.
Cook it, I mean?
Right, no, right, it's different. Right now we're trying to pull out the two different cases. One is swallowing, one's cooking. But the underlying principle that we're comparing that seem to go against each other is swallowing indicates you don't need taste. Cooking it tells me it loses its taste, and I'm not yotze. But which requires that I do need taste, though. The fact that cooking it changed it, and since I'm not yotze, is implying that I need taste. So how could the Gemara Pesachim say that I'm allowed to swallow it if I'm not tasting anything?
Remember,
that's the question.
Why they can't compare to vegetables very fast.
Yes.
How important is that?
Not so important.
Okay.
So that's the idea. So there's a machlokas to the Gemara's whether or not you need the tam of matzah or not. So how do we deal with this machlokas? That's the question we're going to deal with today. So the first answer is the Meiri. The Meiri tells us in Pesachim, we're going to just throw it out there quickly, this is not the accepted opinion. The Meiri quotes one shita that has a different girsa in the Gemara Pesachim. And the way the Gemara Pesachim should say, this is the second base of Bechira on the page if you're looking inside, the end of that paragraph, the base of Bechira of Pesachim, he says, V'yesh tochim af ikr shmo, they're those who reject this sugya here in Pesachim, lomar to tell us, she'af bala matzah lo yatza, that even if you swallow matzah, you're also not yotze. Why are you not yotze? Because you need tam matzah. We have two gemaras, so he's favoring the gemara in Brachos, which says that you do require tam matzah. If you do require tam matzah, if you swallow matzah, you won't be yotze. So he rejects the gemara in Pesachim and either changes the girsa. So whenever you have two steers in gemaras, you have a few ways to deal with a contradiction. Either say one's right and one's wrong, or somehow you have to find some type of compromise. We're talking about two different cases. So what the Meiri is doing is saying we're rejecting the Gemara Pesachim and he's embracing the Gemara Brachos, saying that you require tam matzah, you require to taste the matzah. Therefore, if you swallow matzah, you're not yotze the mitzvah. You have to chew the matzah. And the Gemara Pesachim is not lahalacha. That's Chitas Meiri. That's not the mainstream opinion, though. Okay, now we move to the Meiri that appears in the Gemara Brachos. Meiri and Brachos says, I'm going to work with both Gemaras together. And they're talking about two different Gemaras. The same person, Meir was one of the later Rishonim. He oftentimes quotes a number of different opinions. He was one of the later ones who was able to see all the previous opinions, the Rambam, the Ravi, the Rashi. So he quotes different opinions and not always so consistent. So in the Gemara and Brachos, he explains as follows. the two Gemaras are not really contradicting each other. They're talking about two different scenarios. What are the two different scenarios? So he says, when it comes to the cooking in Gemara Brachos, cooking ruins the cheftza. The cheftza shematza is no longer cheftza shematza. By you cooking, it ruins the cheftza. It's not called matza anymore.
As
opposed to the right, it's something completely different. Exactly, it's completely different. It's a different min, and therefore it's not matzah. In order for you to get matzah, you have to have the chefta. The object has to be matzah. But the Gemara in Pesachim is referring to actual matzah. It has not been changed, has not been altered at all. It's the matzah. It's flour, water, and been baked. The whole process under 18 minutes. It qualifies as matzah. You happen to not, as a person, you didn't taste it. But the Meir doesn't care so much about you actually tasting it. He cares about, is this object, is this chepta able to be tasted? Is it able to taste like matzah or not? So long as it's able to taste like matzah, then you're allowed to, you are yotze the mitzvah. It doesn't require you as the gaver to actually taste it, but the chepta has to have the ability to be tasted. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is not a stira. Again, the Gemara brachos, by cooking it, it ruins the matzah. It's not matzah anymore. It's French toast, whatever it becomes.
So matzah is flour and water baked under 18 minutes.
Exactly.
That's the definition.
Exactly. Now, the baking isn't 18 minutes. It's the whole process. The moment you put the water in, the kneading, from beginning to end, has to be less than 18 minutes.
I've been wondering why your matzah keeps burning.
Right. The baking, it takes a second. You put it in, you take it out,
right,
and it's done.
In and out.
Exactly.
But now, that's the process that we're defining of matzah.
Exactly. So once that point has been baked, you can't cook it. You can't change it any other way. If you change it, that's not matzah anymore. It's something. It's a different min. It's a different food. And that's not the food that you're supposed to be eating. But once you have an object, you have the actual matzah, you don't have to actually taste it. It's enough to have the object there. Now, this is a classic distinction, cheftza gavra. You need the cheftza to be matzah, but you don't have to have the gavra to necessarily experience that.
So it's kind of saying, like, in this case, a feeding tube is okay.
It sounds like from here. Now, from this point, yes, it's a very good point. There isn't, and perhaps, okay, let's leave it like that. It might be okay. I think it's a very good point. Yeah, at this point, it seems
good. There are other discussions.
Exactly. We're not going to get into how to define achila at this point. It's possible that feeding tube isn't called achila, but being bolea, swallowing, is considered achila. It's a different point. We're concerned right now with the taste. You have to actually taste it. You don't have to, but I think it's a very good point. It's possible going down, you know, the mouth, it's also considered that you're able to taste it if you want it, but through a feeding tube, you can't taste it. So maybe that would be out of the picture, but we're not going to address that right now. Either way, that's the Miri's distinction. The chefta has to be a matzah, even though you don't actually taste it. Now, what comes out according to the Miri, lechachila, are you allowed to swallow matzah? Sounds like lechachila, you're allowed to. Why not? The Gemara says imbala, sounds like b'dieved. If you swallowed it, you're yotze. But it sounds like from the Meiri that it's even lechachila. As long as it's a chefza shamatza, then it's okay lechachila. But if you look at the Rashbam in Pesachim, the Rashbam says, miu lechachila ta matza beinam. You really do require lechachila. You really have to taste it. B'dieved, he agrees, he can't argue with the Gemara. B'dieved, the Rashbam. The Rashbam's on the side of the page in Pesachim. He says that lechachila, you really should chew it, and you should really taste it. But yeah, but if you didn't, you're yotze the mitzvah. So you have to figure out, why is he making a distinction? If you require ta'am matzah, so then b'dieved, you shouldn't be yotze. If you don't require ta'am matzah, then even lechachila, you should be able to. I mean, I understand the Meiri. The Meiri says, as long as the chepza has ta'am matzah, so lechachila, I can eat it. It's all about the chepza. But once the Rashbam is talking about the person, the individual, if he says lechachila, I'm supposed to taste it, how then could he say b'dieved, if I don't taste it, I'm missing a very important element of the mitzvah? That b'dieved. Again, the Rashbam says, lechachila, you're supposed to actually taste it.
Right.
So, but he says, but b'dieved, if I didn't taste it, I swallowed it, I'm yotze the mitzvah.
Okay.
Why? If it's about the gavra, me tasting it, how can I be yotze the mitzvah b'dieved if I didn't actually taste it?
Well, there's a difference between good and yotze.
Right, you have to figure out why that is. So he's saying the need to taste it has to be, it's somehow secondary. We're going to try to get to the bottom of this a little bit. But we see right now it seems to be a machlokus between the Meiri and the Rashbam, whether lechachila I'm allowed to swallow it or not. The Meiri says I'm allowed to swallow it because he doesn't care about the gavra at all. He cares about this matzah. The need for tam, the need for taste of matzah, is just how to define what is considered matzah. Not about what I'm experiencing. How do you define matzah if it tastes like matzah? Not that I actually have to taste it. If some other person tastes it, so I get the mitzvah. This is, I'm putting matzah into my mouth, into my body. The Rashbam requires that I actually have to physically taste it. So if I have to physically taste it, so why am I yotze b'dieved if I didn't have to taste it?
He prefers,
but he's acknowledging that there's the gavra, that the person has to have some, it's supposed to, he's involved somehow in taste. So either you should say b'dieved, you know, l'chachila. Again, you should have to say l'chachila, you require the taste as well. And b'dieved also, if I didn't taste it, I'm not yotze. So we'll try to get to the bottom of this in just a second. Let's leave that in the back of our minds right now, this question of l'chachila versus b'dieved. Let's now go back to the discussion of why is it true when I bake something, rather when I cook matzah, why does cooking actually ruin the matzah? What about it ruins the matzah? So this is a two-way machlokas we find in the Rishonim. Let's start with the Rashi. If you go back to the Rashi in Gemara and Brachos.
Okay, where are you?
The Gemara and Brachos, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Around halfway down, where Rashi says, Yotzin Birakik Hasharoi. You guys see that? Around halfway down the Rashi in Lamed Ches Amud Beis? He explains if I take matzah and I soak it in the water, I'm still yotze my mitzvah. If I'm shari b'mayim, if I soak it in water, I'm yotze yedei achilas matzah shel mitzvah. I get the mitzvah of eating. The karinam bay lechem oni. That's called lechem oni still. That's called poor man's bread. Aval lo b'mevushal. If I cook the matzah, desu lav lechem ikri. Once I cook the matzah, it's not called bread anymore. It's not called bread when I cook it. It's not lechem at all. We'll see what that means. You have to, sometimes to appreciate different Rishonim, certainly Rashi, when Rashi so terse, you have to compare Rashi to others in order to really appreciate what Rashi is trying to say. So if you look in the back of Rabbeinu Yonah in the back of the Gemaras, and then we'll come back and see how Rashi, what Rashi is saying. He says, you know why you're not yotze matzah when you cook it? Let's get to this page, 1 second here. He explains as follows. Dibainan ta matza ania. You need the taste of a poor man's bread, veleka. Vizu, this case, when I cook the matza, kaven shihim mivushela, since I'm cooking it, I'm making matza bread, let's say. Havale matza ashira. That's a rich man's bread. So what's going on here? Rabbeinu Yonah agrees that when I cook my matza, when I have make matza bread, that's still considered matza. It's just matza ashira. It's called lechem. It's still a bread. It's just a rich man's bread. According to Rashi, he says, lav lechem ikri. It's not called bread at all. It's nothing. It's a completely different min. It's not even lechem. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it still stays in the category of bread. I would still say hamotzi on it. I'll show you a nafka min in a second. I would still say hamotzi. But according to Rashi, I wouldn't say hamotzi anymore. It might be a mezonos or something. In fact, Tosfos Rush says, Tosfos Rush, here it's in the Gemara, in Brachos, he quotes an opinion.
Rabbi, you started off by saying Rashi says, if I soak it in water, it is still lechem oni.
Correct.
You just used the word lechem. But now you're telling me if I cook the matzah, Rashi says, it's not lechem at all.
Correct.
So that's a contradiction in lechem oni, and it's not lechem.
I think it's a great diak you're making. Absolutely great diak that you're making. Now Rashi is telling us that you need lechem oni. There are two elements. Matzah requires lechem and it has to be oni. Those are the 2 points, lechem and oni. Rashi telling us that's what's needed. Cooking loses the lechem part of things. So once it's lechem, you can't even talk about the oni part either.
Well, the Rashi seemed to have said it is lechem oni, but it's not lechem.
No, lechem, when I soak it in water, you're yotze the mitzvah, because that still is lechem oni. That's still good enough. Soaking.
Right, but cooking, when you read that... Oh, that's only soaking.
But cooking is not even bread anymore. It drops down 2 levels to not even bread. Nothing to talk about.
And just he's saying that when I soak it, it's lechem, but if I... Then he changes the cook.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
So it's not...
correct.
It's now, not cooking is right. Considered lechem. It's soaking is lechem.
Exactly.
Cooking is not even...
correct.
Lechem at all.
Fine. Now let's go further. Let's go to Rashi. There's Rashi and Psachim. I just want to show you the consistency of Rashi. Rashi and Psachim, Daf Mem Aleph, the same Bryce is quoted about soaking and cooking matzah. Rashi says, and listen carefully, Avalo b'mevushal, you're not yotze when you cook the matzah, delav lechem krina bay, it's not called lechem, it's nothing, it's not bread, it's a different min, different species. V'yafal pisha kvar nefa b'tanur, even though I baked it already, what do you mean? It was matzah, I bought the chareda matzah, it was mamash matzah, so it's matzah. Hol v'chazer u'bishal, since I went ahead and cooked it in water and oil, Bitlu mitars lechem. It loses its status of being lechem anymore. It's nothing. So Rashi in two places is consistent that cooking matzah, it makes it no longer bread.
Is that halacha?
That's how he paskins. We'll see how we paskin in a second. But Rashi assumes it makes it not bread. What's a nafkamina? Nafkamina is as follows. The Tosafos Rashi writes here in Brachos. This is on the second page.
We said Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah, and now we're on
the Tosafos Rashi.
On the same Lamed Ches.
Amud Beis. So exactly. Rashi says cooking makes it nothing. And Rabbeinu Yonah says it just makes it to a lechem ashira, but it's still lechem. So Tosafos Rashi has the following nafkamina. He writes, if you look in the bottom of the Tosafos Rashi, this is the second page. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yossi hasam ela mishum debina and ta matzav leka. Perish. Dehavya kimo matzah shira. He holds like Rabbeinu Yonah that cooking it makes it into a matzah shira, a rich man's bread. Aval lechem ikri. It's still called lechem though. Vishapir. It's still called a bread. Uvamil sakai. Vilo kaperish halachos gadolos. Not like the halachos gadolos who hold shapirish. Dechi bisha when you cook it lapas bikli rishon. And a kli rishon lo mevarchan alaha motzi. That you don't say amoti. The Bahag, Paskin like Rashi, Bahag really came before Rashi. The Rashi and Bahag both held, cooking loses its status of bread, and there would not be amoti. It's not bread anymore. But according to Tosafos Rashi, if you cook it, it's still bread, and you still would say amoti. You wouldn't be yotzei matzah.
Right, you're not bread.
Exactly. Rich bread. Exactly. So that's nafkamina. When I cook bread, when I cook matzah rather, will it still be hamotzi or not hamotzi?
That's a different issue, right? Whether it's matzah or not, but it's not matzah.
Exactly. But the point, we're seeing this conceptual difference. What does cooking do? Does cooking it make it nothing, like Rashi, and therefore it wouldn't be even a motzi? Or no, just change it to a lechem ashira, to not yotze matzah, but you still would have to say a motzi on this. So that's an afkamina between Rashi versus Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, we're good here? Fine. So now, we look at the Netziv now. I'm going to need some of your help on this Netziv. We go back to the Rashbam and perhaps understand what's going on. Remember, Rashbam said that when the Gemara says, Bala matzah yotze, yotze, you're yotze when you swallow matzah, because you didn't taste the matzah, you're still yotze, the Rashbam says, L'chachila, you really should chew it in order to taste the matzah. So if you look back on page 1, the Merome Sada, this is the Netziv.
So the Rashbam is the one who's saying,
Exactly. Chachila, you really should chew it, and you really should swallow it. And it's rather, really chew it and taste it, I mean.
Taste it.
So
versus whom?
Versus the Miri, who says, no, as long as the Chefza has the ability to be tasted, so you don't have to actually chew it, as long as the Chefza Shamata has some tam. But the Rashbam says, no, you actually, really, it should be advised to chew it in order to taste it. So the Netziv said something interesting. If you look at the Merome Sada again, the Netziv is Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, New Berlin. There's a pasuk that describes the different, the chelek, the portion that Naftali got in Eretz Yisrael was described as a Merome Sada. That's why he named the Sefer Merome Sada based on Naftali. So he writes, this is the first page of the sources, source number 3, Debeinan Ta Matzah, Ein Masha Kosav HaRashbam B'Psachim. Look what he writes, which we already know what he writes. Daf Kof Tesav Vav Le'inin Bala Matzah Diyat. Deha debinan ta matzah, that which you require ta matzah, ain't no el chachila. That's only lechachila that you require ta matzah. But b'diavad, no, Rashbam. Lechachila,
you should
taste it and chew it, but b'diavad you're yotze. Rashbam says this shita of the Rashbam, the Netziv rather, Netziv says the shita of the Rashbam, tzarech lomar kiperish talmud harbinu yono. Da'azil tam delechem onim. The Rashbam must be holding like Rabbeinu Yonah. We'll have to figure out how that is. Aval Perisha Tosos in the Daf Mem and Psachim, he can't say this way. So Tosos in Psachim says, like Rashi, that cooking ruins, it's no longer bread. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it just ruins the Tam of Lechemoni, but it's still considered bread. So how does this connect to the Rashbam? That's what I'm trying to figure out. How does that connect at all to Rashbam? I thought I had it, and then I forgot it, and I'm trying to reconstruct this. So I think the idea is as follows. I think the Netziv understands, we said before, when everybody agrees matzah requires two things. Lechem has to be bread. Bread is defined by bread, water, and baking time, let's say.
No cooking.
And then lechem oni is now the amount of time it's been cooked, It makes it a poor man's bread. Guys, quickly, he needs to rush, doesn't have time to let it rise. That's lechem oni. You need two elements, bread and lechem oni. Now you have to ask the question, which is more important? Is the bread more important or is lechem oni more important? Which aspect is the more important?
We're talking about fulfilling the mitzvah of Pesach.
Exactly. Getting the matzah, exactly. So I think the idea is, I'm not entirely sure how this connects. But I think the idea is, the Rashbam requires that the chefza, he requires two things, that the chefza be matzah, that's why I'm Yosef, I swallow it, but l'chachila, I'm supposed to taste the lechem oni. That's only l'chachila. The lechem oni is secondary. So therefore, I thought I had this a second ago. I think I have it. Okay, let's say it this way. Everybody agrees cooking takes away the lechem oni aspect. But the question is lechem oni part and parcel of the definition of matzah, or it's considered separate? It's a little bit confusing. Everybody agrees that cooking matzah removes the element of lechem oni.
Yeah, but since it removes lechem.
Wait a second. So lechem oni, that's that point. It gets rid of lechem oni. The question is lechem oni part and parcel of definition of matzah, or is that considered a second element? If I tell you matzah needs to be lechem oni, is that one element, lechem oni? And therefore, if I cook it, if there's no lechem oni, there's no lechem, it's nothing. Or do I view it as two stages? There's lechem, and then there's lechem oni. So when I cook it, the cooking removes the lechem oni, but it still is lechem. It's a second element. There's bread, and then there's lechem oni. You hear what I'm saying?
Different opinions.
Exactly. So that, and then that's, I'm saying, that's what we're getting at here.
I mean, it starts off by saying Rashi says you cook it, it's not even lechem.
Right, but I'm telling you at the bottom of this right now. Is lechem oni considered, when I ask what's matzah, do I say matzah is lechem oni, and one thing, it's lechem oni, that's what it is? Or am I saying, no, it's lechem, and then there's also another element of lechem oni? Are there two different parts, or it's one part? So if you assume that it's one part, so then cooking it ruins the entire matzah. It's not lechem anymore. It's nothing to talk about.
Right.
That's Rashi. But if you assume that there are two parts, cooking gets rid of the lechem oni aspect, but it's still bread. Exactly. So now that connects to the Rashbam as follows. Rashbam says, when I swallow matzah, I just lost the lechem oni part of things, but it's still chefza bread. It's still bread though. So I ate bread. I swallowed bread. I didn't taste the lechem oni, but lechem oni is simply a second aspect of it. But the first aspect of it being lechem is still there. So if I accomplish that by swallowing it, lechachila, I should really have the bread plus the lechem oni. Let's say it one more time, a different way. If I split the element up of lechem versus lechem oni, lechem, I accomplish lechem by swallowing it. I accomplish lechem oni by tasting it. How do I get lechem oni? By chewing it and by tasting it. So the Rashbam says, if I swallow the bread, I get the lechem aspect. So lechachila, b'dyevit, I get the lechem, that's good enough. But if I need to get lechem only, I can only accomplish that by chewing it, by tasting it. That's how I get the lechem only. If I swallowed it, but I didn't get the taste of lechem only, I still get the mitzvah because at least I had the lechem aspect of things. The
question is lechem only a factor or not?
Is that the only factor, lechem only, or is it the second element?
Is it lechachila or is it b'dyevin?
Exactly. You hear what I'm saying? Shlomi, you got that? Yeah? Okay, I think it makes sense. I think they're basically two dinim. So is lechem only, again, I'll say it one more time, is lechem only really a din in the actual lechem? It's one element. Without lechem only, there's nothing. That's Rashi. Rashi is when I cook my matzah, it's no longer lechem only. Once it's not lechem only, it's nothing. Nothing to talk about anymore. And therefore, b'dyeved, right, fine. But according to the Rashbam and others that know there's two different elements, there's lechem, and then there's lechem only as a second thing. When I cook it, the cooking only ruins the lechem only part of things. But still considered lechem, and that's Rabbeinu Yonah. And that's why the Rashbam says, B'dyevet, I'm Yotze, because at least I had the lechem part of things. Rashi wouldn't say, you have to figure out how Rashi understands things, but I think that's how a nice way to break down these two opinions. Okay. Let's go further now. So basically what we're talking about right now, though, just to resimplify things.
That was supposedly an explanation of the Netziv's discussion of the difference between the Rashbam and the Meiri?
Exactly. Exactly. Fine, let's go further now. We said above that Rabbi Yossi back to our Gemara, Rabbi Yossi says, if I cook matzah, I'm not yotze, because cooking the matzah ruins my matzah. But Rabbi Meir, the other opinion of the Gemara, says, I'm actually yotze. If I cook matzah, I'm actually yotze the mitzvah. So what is that machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, whether or not cooking ruins the matzah or not? Rabbi Meir again says, cooking does not ruin the matzah, I'm still yotze. So the Rashba has an amazing, amazing explanation here.
To say the difference again, the Meiri says cooking does not ruin.
Cooking does not ruin.
And Yossi?
Rabbi Meir says cooking does not ruin. Rabbi Yossi says cooking does ruin. We've been discussing Rabbi Yossi's Shita up until now, that cooking ruins the matzah. We want to know why. Does it ruin it, makes it into not lechem at all, or does it just make it lechem ashira? That was all within the world of Rabbi Yossi, who says cooking ruins it. Rabbi Meir in the Gemara argues and says that cooking does not ruin that. The question is, why not? Why does he argue? What's the nekudas hamachlokas? What are they arguing about that he says that Rabbi Meir holds that cooking does not ruin it? So if you look at the Rashba on the bottom of the source number, page number one.
The Rashba. The Rashba is going to explain this machlokas.
Exactly. Look at page number one, the Rashba on the bottom. Let's read this inside. He says, Lohi ad kan lo kamar biosi el agavi matzah debin and tam matzah v'leka. Biosi says cooking ruins it because you need taste of matzah and you don't have that when you cook it. So what's the reason for a mayor who allows you to eat cooked matzah? Time of the mayor. La mishum de lo by ihu tam matzah. Not because he doesn't require tam matzah. I'll say that in the positive. Rav Meir also requires matzah. He also requires tam matzah. Both Rav Meir and Rav Yossi agree you need the taste of matzah. So if you need the taste of matzah, why does Rav Meir allow you to cook matzah? How do we know that he requires tam matzah? The Hamoda Rav Meir himself agrees, birakos, when it comes to vegetables.
So he says it doesn't ruin the taste.
Exactly. We have to explain why that is.
Right.
He requires taste of matzah. So how come cooking is permitted?
Because it doesn't ruin the taste.
So exactly, we'll get to that. So first, how do we know that Rabbi Meir requires ta'am matzah? So the Rashba brings a raya from yirakos, from vegetables, referring to maror. The Mishnah Pesachim tells us in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, she'ena yotzei behen lo bekvushim, lo beshlokin, lo mevushalim. If I take maror and I pickle it, or if I cook it, I'm not yotzei. Why?
Takes away the taste.
Exactly. Taima, mishum tabainan, tam mar v'leko. You need taste, and you don't have that when you cook the mar. Ula krichas mar nami chashinan, and also when you do the korich, the wraps of the matzah, you also. Dil ma'asa mar darbanum vata tam matzah derais. I don't want to discuss that right now. So what's the machlokas? If Rav Meir himself agrees you need the taste of matzah, now by the way, it is a jump that the Rashba says. Just because Rav Meir requires taste of mar, doesn't mean you require the taste of matzah. So that's a bit of a jump that he brings a raya from Mara to prove
two separate things.
Exactly. So that's certainly from the Gemara itself, but we're going to ignore that raya right now. It is an interesting raya. It's a bit of a jump. Let's just assume that's okay for now.
We're assuming, he says, he also agrees with Rabbi Yossi, and he says it requires taste. But right now we're assuming that he says, so it doesn't take away the taste.
Ah.
And now, based on the vegetable discussion, we're going to say why he says it doesn't take away the taste.
No, the vegetable discussion proved to us that he requires taste.
So that's all.
Right.
But now we're going to come up with something else that explains why.
Exactly. Let's get this inside. Ela, Rabbi Yossi savar matzah ki mevashale. When you cook matzah, but the tam goes away. Cooking ruins it. That's according to Rabbi Yossi, who we've been discussing up until now. Rabbi Meir savar the low batil taima.
Right.
He thinks cooking does not ruin it.
Taste.
But when it comes to maror, where maror requires a strong taste, maror does. The cooking does ruin maror, but it doesn't ruin matzah.
It's really a subjective thing he's saying here. He doesn't think that it. I mean, is that what he's saying? He doesn't think that it.
Ah, so this is the point. I'm not sure subject. So very good. So that's the question of Pnei Yeshua. In essence, Pnei Yeshua says they're arguing about metzias. They're arguing about, does cooking ruin it or does not cooking ruin it? Why don't you go to the chefs, the professionals, and go test it out? We have a klal we have throughout Shas and throughout the Rishonim. We assume that they're never arguing about metzias, about facts. If there are facts to find out, they'll go figure out the facts. You know, if when it comes to
about how people consider it?
Exactly. No, not people. I mean, how to test it out might be part of the difficulty. Is it an average person like us? Is it a professional chef?
You should be able to know.
You should be able to know. Like the Gemara doesn't say, okay, I don't know what happened. Let's argue in the base medrash and whatever. We don't care about the metzias. No, we care about metzias. If you can figure out whether a punctured lung is going to allow an animal to live for 12 months or not, you could go out and test it out in the farms. Anything that can be figured out in Mitzias, in the facts, and doing their proper research, they never argue about. We assume they all agree about the facts on the ground. So there's a very strange application, and the Rashba says they're arguing about whether it ruins it or doesn't ruin it. And that's the Pnei Yeshua's challenge on the Rashba. You go to the next page, it's a long Pnei Yeshua, I'm not going to read this inside. But he says that the parish of the Rashba is very dachuk, very difficult to say. Is he going to say that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi are arguing a mitzias? They're arguing whether or not cooking ruins it or doesn't? Go out and test it. Go do research. Take a survey.
Ruins it. Ruins the taste?
Ruined the taste or not, yes. So therefore, the Pnei Yeshua takes a completely different approach. He says the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is not about
cooking. He's taking a different thing. The Rashbam says that's the difference.
Right.
Pnei Yeshua says that's not the difference between
exactly.
Yossi and Meir.
Pnei Yeshua says differently. Exactly. He says nobody requires ta matzah. You don't require ta matzah at all. We never find anywhere in the Gemaras that say anything about ta matzah. Nowhere. The Gemara in Pesachim says you're able to be bala. You could swallow it. There's no taste. The Rashba's Raya, he says the fact that you need taste for maror doesn't mean you need taste for matzah. They're two different halachas. The whole idea of maror is to make us feel bitter. You're supposed to taste it. Matzah is completely different. So he says, what's the machlokas here?
So he's saying it's not about the taste. That only applies to maror.
Exactly. When the Gemara says here that it says ta matzah ba'inan, according to Rabbi Yossi, it doesn't mean you really need taste. It's lav dafka. What the Gemara is referring to is you need bread. It has to be bread. Tam of bread. Not tam of matzah, but tam of bread.
Tam doesn't mean taste. Tam means like stam, almost. Stam bread.
Well, he's
it says, it's not about taste. It's just about...
It is about taste, but not a taste of matzah. It's a taste of bread. It has to taste like bread still. It's a different, slightly different point here.
Okay.
And what it means is that according to Rabbi Yossi, when you cook it, it ruins... I really shouldn't even say tam. It really means the tzura. Does it have an image of bread? Rabbi Yossi holds, once you cook bread, cook the matzah rather, you have matzah brayim, it doesn't have the appearance of bread anymore. But according to Rabbi Meir, he doesn't require that idea. He doesn't require the tzura, the image of bread anymore. And therefore, cooking is okay. Everybody agrees cooking ruins the bread. It doesn't look like bread anymore. But Rabbi Meir doesn't care about that at all. Rabbi Yossi does care about that.
Okay. We're explaining according to
bread,
the Pnei Yeshua.
The what? Not our typical bread, but it's still a definition. It's a type of bread. It's crack in the cracker aisle, so it's a cracker. So you know that's why the Svardim don't wash on matzah during the rest of the year. It's not really bread. Really, the bread's supposed to be the lechem apanim in the Mishkan in the Beis Hamikdash was matzah. It's called matzah. But you know how thick it was? It was a tefach thick. That we would call that bread. So bread's not really defined by the thickness. We have the very, very, very machmir, so we have very thin. But a lot of the Sfarim will have like lafa type. Much thinner than this even, but still like that. It's going to be a little lafa. That really is the bread. That's a bread. That's the matzah that you're supposed to be having, but we don't have that. Our minhag has been to not have it like that. But either way, what's going on is as follows.
He's explaining what the Pnei Yeshua, how he explains the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir compared to the Rashbam.
Exactly.
The Rashbam said it was taste.
Mm-hmm.
Need taste. Also requires taste. But it doesn't take away the taste. That was the Rashbam.
Exactly.
Now the Pnei Yeshua, he's saying the difference between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir is what?
So as follows. He doesn't really require, it's not an issue of tam. He doesn't think anywhere, the Gemara never mentions anywhere about tasting matzah. There's one Gemara here in Brachos, the Aflam Ches, which says tam matzah. He says it doesn't really mean tam matzah.
That only plus more.
Exactly. It really means the tzura, the image. It's supposed to look like the bread. Now not classic bread, but the bread of matzah. So Rabbi Yossi requires it to look like bread. Cooking it loses that appearance. And Rabbi Meir does not require that aspect of looking like bread at all. It could look like anything you want. You could cook it, therefore. It's not about the taste. It's about how it appears. And there's no machlokas anymore in Matzias, according to Bnei Yeshua. It's about whether you require the tzura of bread or not.
So Rabbi Yossi requires... Meir's saying that after you cook it, it's still bread.
It's exactly... Even though it doesn't look like bread...
Rabbi Yossi says it's not.
Exactly. Even though... Because Rabbi Meir doesn't require to look like bread. As long as the ingredients are there, that's good enough for him.
Gotcha.
So that's the machlokas according to the Pnei Yeshua.
So one based it on taste, one based it on looks.
Right, exactly.
Tastes great, looks great. That was the old beer commercial.
Okay, let's now go to the last page here.
That was less filling.
Let's go now to the last page of the source of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes, he quotes in the Shulchan Aruch brings down the halach of a person swallows matzah, you're yotzei. But he does acknowledge the Rashbam that aval lichatchila tzarech liloso, you really should chew it, the tam atabina, and you really do require taste. He passes like the Rashbam that you require taste lichatchila. So he asks our very question.
Say this again. The Magen Avraham is doing what?
He quotes the Rashbam that you require taste lechachila and you're supposed to chew the matzah in order to taste it.
Needs taste.
So he asks the question, if you're really supposed to taste it, so how come bidyeved, if you just swallow it, then you're yotze? You're missing the taste.
We're going back to that original question.
Right. Exactly. He's asking, the Magen Avraham himself is asking the question.
Uh-huh.
So he says, let's read this inside. Vim tomar im kain, if you really require taste, afilu b'dievir lo yotze, you shouldn't be yotze if you swallowed it because you did not have the taste. Kemo shekasuv simen tof samech alef sevdal de lo yotze b'mevushol mishum de leka ta matzah. Just like by cooking matzah, you're not yotze either because there's no taste. So just like by cooking matzah, there's no taste. So do by swallowing, there's no taste either. This is our question. He's asking our question that we've been talking about. So the Magen Avraham answers as follows. Shiny hasam, when it's cooked, it's different. When you cook matzah, it's no longer considered matzah, and it's as if you're eating something completely different. This is one of the answers we said earlier. This is the answer of the Miri. That by changing it, by cooking it, changes, it transforms it into something else. Aval hacha, when you swallow something that actually is matzah, ika matzah rakshu eino margish, because you just don't taste it, you don't feel it in your mouth. So he holds like the mirror, you don't have to actually taste it, but it has to be roy, has to be fit to be tasted, but you don't have to actually taste it.
We had that opinion.
Exactly.
Before.
So I'm just saying, Magen Avraham brings this down to halacha.
Okay.
That he holds the shita of the lechachil, you should chew it. If you don't chew it, you're yotze like the mirror, because it was roy to be tasted.
Ah, so when we get to the Magen Av, we're learning lehalacha.
Exactly. This is lehalacha.
How do
exactly.
We hold? We went through all these opinions.
Exactly. So we're holding, You're supposed to really chew it. But if you don't chew it, you yotze anyways. But you definitely shouldn't cook the matzah.
And what happens if you cook matzah? Are you still? Is it considered bread or it's not bread?
A good question.
So matzah broth, you put eggs in and all that stuff, and you really is it still?
It's a great question. Lamaisa, what do you do? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure we're passing it's still considered bread. In light of this discussion, though, we seem to be a machlokas. But I believe we hold it's still considered bread.
And you could always wash on a regular piece of matzah. Then.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the matzah broth.
I don't know.
That's true. Make matzah lasagna in the oven, you know?
Right. It's a very good question. Let me look into this. It's a very good question. I'll bleed that out. I should have addressed that.
Just have a little piece of matzah. That's the only way to do it.
I was hoping to give like a matzah here, and you're like still connected to the bracha stuff. It's great. I love it.
I don't know if that's a curse.
No. It's a tremendous bracha.
Just be careful. He only teaches. This is Rabbi Levin. You have to find out what Rabbi Unleavened thinks.
Okay. Let's just see the Aruch HaShulchan now. The Aruch HaShulchan says something very interesting.
Bread, not matzah.
Okay. Aruch HaShulchan says something very fascinating. Aruch HaShulchan had always tremendous chidushim. Aruch HaShulchan says, you know why you're yotze when you swallow the matzah? According to the Magen Avraham and the Miri, you're yotze because you don't have to actually taste it.
What is this last person?
Aruch HaShulchan.
To explain.
Wait. Let me speak. Aruch HaShulchan. I know. I'll put it together in a second. Aruch HaShulchan, again. He says, according to the Magen Avraham and the Meiri, as long as you swallow it, you're yotze the mitzvah, even though you don't actually taste it. Okay?
It's the mitzvahs of the thing.
Comes on the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, no, you're tasting it even when you swallow it. Even when you swallow it, you need ta'am matzah, and even by swallowing it, you're getting a ta'am matzah. How? He says, you don't require the ta'am b'fiv, but you require ta'am b'meyav in your stomach.
You need constipation.
There is taste when you just swallow and don't chew.
Right.
There is. Take a pill. I mean, take a natural pill.
Right.
And I swallow it. It tastes something.
There's some bitter taste.
He's saying that's not even it. He's saying it's the result it has in your body.
Exactly. He's saying somehow the ta'am in the me'av, in the stomach. So I don't know what that means. You don't taste things. He could be referring to the zahana. The Gemara says it's hana. You feel it? Yeah? You taste it?
Your stomach.
If you don't taste, you don't taste something sweet or sour.
Not full or not full.
So maybe he was referring to hana, but he says tam. So I don't really know what to make of this. But that's what he says, that there is tam that's being accomplished, but it's in the stomach somehow.
This is the feeding tube discussion thousands of years in advance.
Yeah, exactly. It could be that.
Right in the stomach, does it count?
Exactly. It could be this one. This Aruch HaShulchan might be a basis that you might be able to be yote matzah and get the tama matzah because it goes to the stomach. Exactly. Fine. So let's review this and do one last point. Review what we saw before. That was the Aruch HaShulchan.
And generally he's commenting after the Magen Avraham
yes,
is giving the halacha.
Exactly, yes, exactly. He's one of the later poskim.
What's his name again?
Aruch HaShulchan.
See, I'm feeling all these tastes in my mouth right now. I'm serious.
Go and have a good breakfast afterwards. Go pick up a bagel. Okay, let's just review quickly what we saw because there's a lot we did today, and then I want to go through our Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. We saw again in Machlokes about whether or not you require tam matzah or not. And when you cook the matzah, what the cooking does it ruin it entirely? It's not considered bread, and you wouldn't even say amotzi. Or no, it just makes it into lechem ashira. It is still bread, and you would say amotzi. You just wouldn't be yotzei the mitzvah. We saw a discussion whether or not lichachila, are you supposed to taste the matzah? But b'diavad you're yotzei? Or even lichachila, the Miri says, you're allowed to even just swallow it. Because as long as the cheftza is right to be swallowed, right to have taste, it's enough. It could be lechachila. That's what we discussed. And we saw a machlokes about how to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says cooking it ruins the matzah. Rabbi Meir felt that cooking it doesn't ruin it. So according to the Rashba, it's just machlokes and metzias. Does cooking ruin it or does not ruin that? But according to the Pnei Yeshua, it's not an issue of metzias. It's really an issue of do you require a tzura, look like bread or not look like bread. That was a machlokes. That's a quick summary of what we saw. So I want to go through now Reb Chaim. One thing we did not discuss here was the issue of soaking matzah. We spoke about cooking matzah. Everybody agreed soaking matzah, you're actually yotzei. So the post can talk about two elements. When it comes to what can you soak it in? So Rashi already, I think here, he says, yotzei, he was shari b'mayim, soaking it in water, Rashi writes, implying that you can't soak it in, let's say, wine. Wine wouldn't work. Only water. The question is, why not? So the Reb Chaim talks about two different elements of why it wouldn't work. Number one, it wouldn't work. Why you can't use wine is because wine would give it to ruin the taste of it. It has a new, different, completely different taste.
Say again, we're having a discussion about soaking. What we're soaking.
Everybody agrees soaking water, soaking matzah in water, you're yotzei the mitzvah. Everybody agrees to that.
Right.
And again, what are the questions? Are you allowed to soak it in wine though? So the diak from Rashi is Rashi says on our Gemara here, he says shari b'mayim, the shari b'mayim daf b'mayim, you yotzei the mitzvah if it's in water, implying if it's in something other than water like wine would not be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Because it ruins the taste. It's no longer tastes like matzah. Water doesn't ruin the taste. It ruins the image, but doesn't ruin the taste. Wine will ruin the taste. So you're not yotzei if you soak it in wine. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik wants to be medayik as follows. He doesn't think that soaking in wine will ruin it. He doesn't think it ruins the tamba matzah. Without explaining why that is, he has some diukim in the Rambam. But he says the reason why you can't use wine, and he makes a distinction of if you're having the matzah in the beginning of the meal versus the matzah at the end of the meal. Let me explain.
So he's differentiating specifically wine, not juice or orange.
Or anything, anything else. Anything else.
Or just specifically wine.
So this the reason is, let me explain why. The idea is, when you have the afikomen, at the end of the meal, that matzah, everybody agrees you cannot eat after. You cannot eat after afikomen.
Right.
But some say you're allowed to drink after the afikomen.
Right.
That's a machlokas.
Uh-huh.
The Rambam paskins, that you're not even allowed to drink after. So he says as follows. If I'm eating afikomen soaked in wine, I now, in essence, I'm drinking after the afikomen. That's the problem. Not because wine ruins the matzah. It's matzah. But drinking it at the same time as afikomen now means I just drank after my afikomen. I need to eat another afikomen.
Why are people doing this in the first place?
No, we don't do whys here. We're just trying to understand what's. Okay. But he says, in the beginning of the meal, if I'm trying to be yotzei my matzah in the beginning, where I'm allowed to drink after my matzah,
right.
I'm allowed to soak my bread, my afikomen, my matzah rather, in wine, because it doesn't ruin the time of the matzah he holds. I'm drinking afterwards. You're allowed to drink after your first eating of the matzah.
Right.
So he says it is considered a matzah by soaking it any type of juice, in water, in wine, in grape juice. Exactly. It's a special din afikomen that if I soak it in wine, I'm making another problem of me drinking after my afikomen.
But if you soaked it in water, you can't have water after
no,
the afikomen.
No, you're allowed to have something.
You're allowed to have water?
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Okay.
You got
to
put that
right.
in.
Exactly. Exactly. Fine. So that's the final point. So on the din of soaking the din in water, water everybody agrees you're allowed to. They advise not to. But for someone who's old who can't really chew it, you can. But soaking in wine, according to most of them, you're not allowed to even for the beginning because the wine ruins the time of it. But according to Reb Chaim, to understand the Rambam, for the beginning you can, but for the Avikoman you're not allowed to.
This state is going to be totally different this year.
Good.